Hi everyone, and welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thank you for tuning in tonight and making this podcast a part of your bedtime routine. Before we get started, I want to mention that tomorrow night on Get Sleepy Premium, we'll have a lovely story read by Simon. It's a retelling of an old fairy tale set in Java, Indonesia, about two sisters, a scarf, and a magical old woman. So be sure to sign up for Get Sleepy Premium so you can hear tomorrow's story and every other exclusive episode. As well as that, you will have access to our entire back catalogue, and everything is ad-free. Sign up at getsleepy.com/support, or just follow the link in the show notes. Tonight, we'll journey to the French Alps and discover the beauty of a remote town that resides rather uniquely along the Bourne River. There, we will spend the day exploring the town and relaxing in the cool, fresh water. So let's get ourselves in just the right mindset for a cozy story that will help you sleep. Every night, we all go through a process of settling down. Whether it's reading a book, sipping a nice hot drink, maybe a warm bath an hour or two before bed. The important thing is to find what works best for you, to allow you to slow down and feel that sense of calm when you go to bed. Part of that process tonight will be listening to my voice. And as you do, notice the subtle parts of that process. Feel your body warm the bed. Feel your muscles relax. Feel your breathing slowing down. And feel your eyes becoming more tired with every passing moment. You are on your way towards a beautiful night's sleep. I don't know what will be the final straw that gets you there, but it will come when the time is right. As you drift off, you can just listen as I read this story in the background. We begin on a quiet morning, somewhere in the French countryside, where the sounds of a babbling brook and chirping crickets are all that fill the air. The house is painted a delicate pastel pink, which softly complements the rich colours in the surrounding nature. A warm chocolate brown door reflects the earth, as it peeks out here and there between the grass. Extending out from the front of the house, there's a wide porch with colourful flower boxes that hang from the railing. From here, you can see a few other houses like this one nearby. They are all clustered together and provide the perfect home away from home for visitors like you. Today, you plan to meet a local named Lucy and head out to explore the town of Pon-en-Royon. You close the chocolate-coloured door behind you and step into the front yard. Over your shoulder, you have a well-packed bag with a towel, a light scarf, some snacks, and a bottle of water. You take a moment to pause in the yard and inhale the fresh mountain air. It's another bright summer day in the Alps. You have been in this town for a week already, and during your time here, you have become friends with Lucy. She has lived here her whole life. A few days ago, you met her at a coffee shop downtown, where she noticed you poring over a guidebook. It was then that she offered you help and local recommendations. After getting to know each other better, she invited you to join her on a short trip to Pon-en-Royon, which is only a couple of hours away. It's a small medieval town, known for its colourful hanging houses that perch atop the rock walls overlooking the Bourne River. When she first told you about it, you knew you had to see it for yourself. You spot Lucy's azure blue car just before it comes to a stop in front of your house. She rolls down her window and waves. Her thick, chestnut hair is tied back into a ponytail. She has gold-rimmed sunglasses and bears a friendly smile. You hop in, and she greets you with the customary kisses on both cheeks, which have become familiar to you during your time in France. She smiles, excited for the journey. She shifts into first gear, and you feel the car start to move. Before long, you're cruising past other houses, little stores, and cafes. They're all painted cheerful pastel colours. Pinks, yellows, and peaches, with ceramic-tiled gabled roofs. Then, the quaint town begins to fade. Fewer and fewer buildings line either side of the road. Before you know it, you feel the ground slope upwards as you head deeper into the mountains. The road is quite narrow and winding as it twists and turns up the side of the mountain. You open your window just a sliver to feel the air on your face. You pass through rows of tall, green pine trees, standing close to one another. Even in the warmth of the summer, they still bring with them a cool, calming atmosphere, which lends itself to daydreaming. You gaze out the window, watching the trees blur into a brushstroke of green, Closing your eyes, you can feel the breeze tickle your cheeks. The hairs on your arms raise as the air moves across your skin. When you open your eyes, you see the landscape has opened up to reveal a wide and verdant valley. Here, the highway passes in between the steep slopes and the plains below. You prop your arm on the car door and gaze out the window. You can see cows grazing in a field dotted with rectangular hay bales. It seems to stretch out to the horizon. You roll the windows all the way down and take a deep breath of the clean air. It smells of fresh-cut grass and hay. Here and there, you see small, rustic houses and barns scattered among the fields. You'd like to take a look inside one of them, you think, but this isn't where you'll be going today. Leaving this landscape behind, the road narrows again, now dense with trees and shrubs. You spot a green sign on the left side of the road, indicating that you are now entering the Bourne Canyons area. Lucy smiles as you pass the sign and into this new world. You now find yourself driving on a small, two-lane road, which is carved into the side of a canyon. On your left, you see the Bourne River, flowing parallel to the road. On your right are the canyon's walls, with thick green moss and small plants growing all over them. It's a magical landscape. You can see various rock formations in beautiful whites and greys, curved and craggy. Tall, slender trees grow precariously on the tops of these rocks. They stretch out over you, filtering the bright daylight into small, soft rays that dance across the glass of the windshield. The car meanders along the twists and turns of the highway, driving through tunnels that pierce the canyon. The sunlight fades away in the darkness of each tunnel and reappears, shining over the scenery. Around a bend, Lucy spots a fruit vendor and his truck, parked on the side of the road above the river. He is selling delicious seasonal produce. Lucy parks the car and you both step out. It feels good to stand up and stretch your legs. You feel your calf muscles relax after taking a few steps. The soles of your shoes graze against the gravel underfoot as you walk toward the vendor. Lucy greets him in French. He smiles and waves his flat grey cap, inviting you over. There are plump apricots and fuzzy peaches, round and inviting. You can smell the fresh, heady aromas wafting off the produce. You can tell they're fully ripe and are going to be sweet and juicy. They must be fresh off of the farm. He offers you a slice of white peach from a large platter, and you take it carefully with a toothpick. The peach is soft and fragrant, and the sweet and tangy fruit juice runs down your throat. You enjoy it so much that you decide to buy 6 of the peaches to take with you on your journey. The vendor sees that you are happy with your purchase, and he gives you a couple of apricots free of charge. You hold one small apricot in your hand and split it open, revealing the bright orange flesh. You take out the pit and offer one half of the fruit to Lucy. You both pop the apricot halves into your mouth, savoring the delicate and velvety honey-like flavor. After indulging your taste buds, you and Lucy hop back into the car and continue your drive along the snaking road. After a while, the canyons open up again and the road descends into a basin. In the distance on your left, you can see a small waterfall trickling down the canyon walls. It looks like a silver ribbon, glistening in the sunlight. The hills are lush with varied greenery, from trees to bushes, shrubs, and small flowering plants. Around the next bend, you see a signpost marking the entrance to Pont en Royon. You're here at last. The first thing you notice when you enter the riverside town is that it seems to rise up from the rock itself. It's a striking sight. There's a large stone wall barricading one side of a steep, forested slope, with pink, cream, and hazel structures sitting atop it. Looking closer, you see they are homes, which spring up from the wall like a natural extension of it. This is what Pont en Royon is famous for, the so-called hanging houses on the cliff. As you go further into the town, you see the road is lined with cafes and even more houses, all built next to each other in what little space they have. They are all a beautiful golden colour in the sunlight, with tall, rectangular windows, framed by mahogany-coloured wooden shutters. This is a 16th century town, and driving through it, you feel as though you've been transported to a different period of time. Following the street signs, you continue down the road until you reach a good place to park. Lucy stops the car, and you both step outside with your bags. It's still warm, and the sun is high in the midday sky. Lucy suggests that your first stop be the local outdoor farmers market, where you'll get a glimpse of life here in the town. You start walking, passing under tall trees, which rustle softly in a light breeze. When you reach the market, you see there are several vendors proudly displaying the summer fruits and vegetables that they have for sale. A few of them are giving out samples, which you make a point of tasting. There's so much variety here. It's a delight for every one of your senses. One stall offers natural bee products. There's thick beeswax and jars of amber-coloured honey, which glint in the sunlight. Next is a stall covered in a bright pink tablecloth, selling nougat bars and macaroons. Another has plates stacked high with many coloured sweets, small and dainty, kept fresh under glass domes. You walk past a stall selling charcuterie. It is covered in a red and white gingham tablecloth and laden with a variety of sausages and hams. A small chalkboard is propped up next to the table, with the offerings and prices scribbled on it in white. The vendor is a stout man with a thick grey moustache. He is wearing a white linen shirt and a khaki-coloured vest. You pause and watch him attend to his customers. Your concentration is interrupted by the nuzzling of a small, wet nose in your hand. A border collie puppy, belonging to the seller, has come to say hello. Its shiny black coat is broken only by a blaze of white on its snout. The underside of its belly, paws, and tip of its tail are similarly coloured. You squat down to the puppy's level and give its head a little pat. It rubs its small, round head in the palm of your hand, demanding ear scratches, and you happily comply. It wags its tail before bounding away in search of a new friend. You chuckle, watching the puppy disappear behind the stall. You stand back up and take a look around once again. One stall catches your eye. The vendor is a tall woman with a pixie-style haircut and a yellow floral dress. She smiles, happy to see you and Lucy approach. Her display is filled with different coloured soaps: purple, red, green, blue, and orange. The woman hands you one of the purple bars. "It's a local favourite," she says. The soap feels solid and smooth in your hand. You bring it up to your nose, taking a deep whiff. You can smell the herbal scent of lavender, so soothing and calming. You're very happy with it, and you decide to buy it. She takes it from you and wraps it in a small parchment bag. You hand her the money and she gives you back the change in coins, which clink as they hit your palms. You slip the wrapped soap in your bag and resume your journey. Leaving the chatter of the market behind, you walk down to the river. The water is a clear turquoise, sparkling under the sun. Though the river is beautiful by itself, it's what you see just steps away that makes you catch your breath. There, just beyond where you're standing, is a two-story waterfall cascading down a rock wall. The cascade at the top gives way to miniature pools of water below, terraced to form a multi-level bathing area. Rough-hewn steps connect the pools and are bordered on either side by large boulders. At the bottom of the stairs is a large emerald pool, which seems like something out of a fairy tale. Dainty fallen leaves drift in circles on its surface. A few women sit at picnic tables nearby, with their bags resting on the benches. They've been enjoying their lunch together, while watching their children playing in the pools, splashing, giggling, and enjoying their day. Not wanting to disturb their outing, you and Lucy continue down a stone path that follows the river. You pass by groups of people sunbathing on the grass. The path leads you to a more secluded area, shaded under the trees. You place your bags against a low rock wall. It's time for a swim. Walking over to the riverbank, you take in your surroundings. You can see the curves and cracks of the canyon wall on the other side, and the beige, ivory, and grey patterns swirling in the stone. Tilting your head up a little, you can see the houses you noticed earlier when entering the town. From here, you realize that they're perched on top of the canyon wall, bolstered by strong wooden beams. It's quite an architectural feat, you think. The natural rock formations act as a foundation for the houses. Below the homes, there are curious-looking arches carved into the canyon's walls. Some almost look unfinished, as though a builder began to carve out a window and then stopped partway through the task. You spot one such arch, and upon closer inspection, realize it's actually a doorway into the rock. That makes you wonder what's inside. You wade slowly into the river. The cool water laps at your ankles and then at your calves. After you adjust to the temperature, you dip your whole body in. It's such a refreshing sensation on a summer day like this. You begin to swim across the river, your arms and legs gliding smoothly. There's a gentle current, but you seem to move right through it. After a few more strokes, you reach the other side. Here, instead of a riverbank, you meet the canyon wall, which rises sharply from the water. You prop yourself against it, holding onto the smooth edges of the rock with your hands and feet. To your right, a set of stone stairs rises out of the water at a shallow angle. Your feet find the lowest step, and you press yourself up. As you stand, the water pools at your ankles. You climb the stairs one by one, toward the doorway, etched in the rock. It stands just above the water level, Turning the corner, you see it leads to a small corridor behind the canyon's face. It's quite narrow, but you can easily fit inside. You walk for a little while until the passageway opens up into a chamber with high ceilings. Here inside, the walls are made of white stone, and it feels like a completely different world. The echo of your wet footsteps reverberates through the space. Rays of sunlight filter into the chamber from a large, arched window above your head, framed with tiny stone blocks. Green vines have overtaken the walls, coiling their way down to the floor. Wooden beams and planks crisscross above you. You realize this is one of the earliest houses built in this town. Out of the corner of your eye, you notice something glimmering. It's a bronze plaque mounted on the stone wall. You can no longer read the words that were once carved into it, but you think it could be the name of the first family that used to live here in medieval times. Your mind forms a picture of the chamber in its original state. It could have been a basement or a storage room, you think, with pudgy white sacks full of dried grains piled in the corner. Farming tools, such as rakes and shovels, might have hung from hooks on one side of the room. You picture a red axe resting on its side and a stone divider used to store stacks of firewood. You can almost smell the scent of cooking wafting from the medieval kitchen elsewhere in the house. But then, the sound of the river echoing through the chamber brings you back to the present day. It's time to leave this home to its own era. You walk out of the chamber, leaving it to your imagination. You pass through the doorway and find the steps which lead you down into the river. The familiar coolness of the water welcomes you back to its embrace. Gently, you begin to kick and paddle your way to the other side. Lucy waves at you. While you've been in the chamber, she has been exploring the other side of the river. It seems she's found a special spot that she'd like you to see. Curious and excited, you swim over to meet her. She walks into the water and paddles over to you. She leads you downstream where the canyon curves in and narrows. She pauses for a moment under a bridge, which links the two sides of the canyon above you. You roll over to float on your back, observing the underside of the bridge. You can see the stone arches that support it. The structure flows seamlessly up from one wall and cascades back down to the natural rock formation beneath it. blending in with nature. You roll back onto your stomach and peer down underwater. There, you see a tree trunk has fallen down, creating a platform beneath your feet. It rests on river rocks, wedged between the canyon walls. You run your toes along its bark, which feels surprisingly smooth. The waters of this calm river have worn its rough edges away. With the water helping to carry your body, you balance on the tree trunk. From the shore, it would look as though you're standing on the bottom of the river, halfway submerged and halfway above the surface. You walk along the trunk, moving your arms back and forth to keep you steady in the water. The glimmer of the fading sun dances in the water around you. It's been a long day exploring Ponnunroyon, and you should be heading back soon. Satisfied with all the swimming, you and Lucy agree to return to shore to unwind. You leave the river and pull out your towel to dry off. It's warm and fluffy against your skin. Feeling refreshed and relaxed, you both decide to rest for a while and dry off in the shade of a willow tree before driving home. You still have some time before you need to head back to the car. You shake off your towels and lay them on the ground. Then you lie down, stretching out your legs and feeling your body sink into the towel. Looking up from the ground provides a new view of this beautiful place. From the arched bridges to the canyon walls that tower above, you are in awe. You're grateful for the refreshing mountain river and the warm sun kissing your skin. Here in this alpine town, your heart is full. As you lay there, your eyelids grow heavy. You let them close, feeling like you never want to leave this summer oasis. With that thought playing in your mind, you listen to the sound of the water lapping on the shore and allow its rhythm to lull you into a refreshing dream.